Rodgers in trouble. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
Pressure, pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And today we have an exceptionally special guest. She is probably our favorite person that we've had on the show. Don't tell anybody else who's been on the show. She is a Packers reporter, writer, whatever you want to call her, for NBC 26. She does it all. She's a queen of trades. It is Rachel Hotmire. Rachel, thank you for joining us on Pax What She Said.
Thank you for inviting me back to my favorite podcast to be on. Don't tell any other podcast I've been on that this is absolutely the queen of them all.
Oh my God, thank you so much. No, we love having you. You're the best. We just want to, you know, unfortunately, I think we have to recap the game. We're only a few days removed, but it's still, you know, recent. It's we got to talk about it.
Yep. You guys are still reeling in pain, and there's still things to be spoken about this absolutely baffling loss.
Yes. And there's a few aftermath decisions that were being made today, so we can touch on those. And then on a bit of a lighter end, I think Maggie and I would just love for you to tell us about what it was like to cover the team for your first year and your first season. It was a crazy season for you to start with a new team and what you're looking forward to next year.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's, listen, from being a football fan to being a football reporter to being a football player, everything about the sport this year is different because of COVID. And I don't think anybody's unaffected by that. I mean, even in, you know, post-game talks, we saw people are saying, oh, what are they going to remember most? And you have players saying, I'm going to remember the masks and the COVID tests and playing through it together. So it's definitely been a life-changing experience, I would think, for everybody. For me personally, you know, I came into Green Bay and my job is to cover news and sports. So I was more removed from Lambeau than I planned, but honestly, I didn't feel that much because in an aspect we're all removed, you know, nobody was in the locker room this year, myself included. You know, even locker room clean out, the concept of that this week was extremely different because we're all just relegated to the same Zooms. It's definitely hard, you know, to make those connections virtually, but that's just part of the job. Everybody this year has had to take their job virtually, and reporting is no exception.
Yep. Yeah. I'm looking forward to you starting next year, hopefully being, you know, more quote unquote normal year. And now you have this like kind of comparison, like, okay, wow. And then maybe in a couple of years, you're going to think back and think, wow, I can't believe my first year was 2020. Like that was so odd because it's so different, you know, when you can go into the locker room, you can cover a game at Lambeau. You still haven't even gone to a full game at the stadium.
That's it. I have not seen Lambeau, you know, being Lambeau at its fullest extent. And I applaud all the fans that were lucky enough to get to go this year, whether they paid for tickets or whether they were healthcare workers that were gifted as guests. But honestly, you know, I'm excited to see Lambeau for what everybody worships it as. Yeah, I mean, my NFL locker room experience really rests in DC and Baltimore. And I am so thankful for that time here, but you know, if Lambeau is the holy Mecca that it's out to be, I think we have a lot more to show, you know, a new kid in town than just the posters banging on the bleachers, even though I will admit, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I like that touch. It's going to be that times like 10 times.
Exactly.
10. Yeah.
I'm hoping. I can imagine it, but you know, reality would be a little sweeter.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have you at the opener. We'll have Perry up for the opener. I'll be at the opener. And we'll do like a live, quick 10-minute podcast for the Twitter and the Gram.
1,000%. Yes, let's That'd put it in the calendar.
Okay, so you watched the game like Maggie and I did on the couch.
Who did it?
A handful, I guess, got to be in the press box, but not us.
Yep.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier, heartbreaking. I think, you know, you interviewed Maggie and I for a piece you did on the news the other night, and yep, we got to sort of give you the rundown of how we were feeling as fans, but just more from like a reporter, analytical, objective perspective, like what were your biggest takeaways from this game besides the fact that the Packers completely melted down?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, a meltdown isn't just – necessarily out of nowhere, even though I can say this is shocking and surprising. I think the backbone or lack thereof of what we saw fall apart was the play calling. In everything I've watched, you know, from LaFleur as he's built this team over the last 2 years and watching his work and film prior and how he runs things, I think this was an anomaly. And it's sad to see that it happened in the biggest moment, but the play calling for me truly drove a lot of the consequence of Sunday's loss. And then there were just other aspects where I give players credit for saying, you know, it hasn't been on just one side of the ball. There were mistakes everywhere. You know, you could say Rodgers overthrew or misthrew some of these things. You could say drops shouldn't have happened. You can say, you know, the O-line was clearly not there as much as they've prided themselves on flexibility and strength, especially these past few weeks, making up for Bakhtiari's loss in a lot of cases, except for Sunday. I mean, it's just like it was 20 steps forward, 40 steps back.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you mentioned the play calling, because I think everyone's talking about that field goal versus going for it on fourth down as the most like glaringly obvious. And to me, that was surprising, mainly just because I'm so used to watching Matt LaFleur be kind of aggressive in those situations. And you would think that he'd be more aggressive when the stakes are as high as they were. But were there any others throughout the game that you noticed where you were like, it feels abnormal?
There were a couple route instances that I personally wouldn't have gone with. I'll stand by the fact that as much as I, you know, will admit I support AJ Dillon because he went to college down the street from me, the kid was hot. He was trying to make his iron as hot as possible. And there's no reason you shouldn't have gone with him more. When you see him come in and bulldoze through like he can, why'd you only let that happen 2-3 times? You know, you use that tool as much as you can. You have to treat the postseason, as we know, like it could be your final game. And as much as we would have loved to see that three back rotation working as smoothly as it did against the Rams, okay, you're down to your two, go all out with those two, because guess what? If you get there, you get 2 weeks until the Super Bowl. That's plenty of rest. Dillon was even in between quad injuries and he still rested and came in for it. So unless there was more of an injury thing holding him back, you can't be at the end of January and holding back.
No, I know. And I'm sure Maggie has thought the run game to me is something that this team has been predicated on all year. And it's opened up so much for the rest of the offense. And when your O-line is being just hammered by this pass rush, like you would think that you'd want to just continue to pass the ball, especially like you said, to a guy like AJ Dillon, who's getting, you think it's 3 yards and then he turns it into seven. And I think unfortunately throughout the season, that's something that I have also noticed, where AJ Dillon does some great things, but he only, except for the Titans game, gets like 3 carries and you're kind of sitting there wondering like, why was he taken out?
Exactly. You know? And I mean, if that Jones injury didn't happen, I think the conversation would be different, but ultimately you want to define yourself by a growing run game. Now's your chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think part of it too, is if you look at like, we had talked about kind of before the show, last week, one of the keys to success was running it up the middle, because you know that that outside edge rush is so dominant. We didn't see the outside zone working in week 6. So, you know, we had said, especially when you have Jamal Williams and AJ Dillon and some of those bigger bruiser kind of guys, you attack the middle of the field, even with Vita Vea kind of returning. And for them to not do that, especially after the turnovers when they passed 6 times in a row, it just felt really baffling. And I absolutely agree with what you were saying about how it didn't feel like the LaFleur game plan that we had seen for like pretty much the entire season to that point.
Right. That's the thing. Like that, yes, Vita Vea is a very valid threat. I don't deny that. But you've built your middle routes enough. You have built that strength to be able to hammer it home. And if you didn't even at least try that more than twice, I think that's a glaring mistake.
Yeah, it was hard to watch too. Like Devonta Adams could barely get involved. And, you know, you can say, you know, should he have made that touchdown? Should he have not made that touchdown? But you kind of expect someone like him to step up a little bit more. And not that I wanted Rodgers to force the ball to him, but like, also maybe try to force the ball to him, because Devonta Adams will likely make those catches if you put it in the right spot, which is something Rodgers can do. So yeah, it was just a breakdown of what we've typically been seeing. And talk about breakdown. this defense completely broke down on a number of obviously glaring occasions, but you know, that horrible third down conversion percentage just really reared its ugly head. And you just watch the Bucks like very easily just move the ball down the field.
Yeah, that was the definition of the "this is fine" burning dog meme was, and I, you know, I feel really bad because I think there's a lot of pride that side of the ball in the Gold locker room, and they earned it, you know, but it wasn't clicking on Sunday. It really freaking wasn't. On top of the opposite rub off shame that is the fact that the Bucks just nailed everything.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it, is like knowing, and Perry and I talked about this a little bit post-game, was, you know, it felt better, I guess, than being blown out like we've seen from this Packers team in recent years. But it really just felt like there were so many things where you said, like, look, here's a list of 10 things. And if you fix one of those things, you're probably going to the Super Bowl. And third down defense was absolutely one of those things. And the Will Redmond interception that could have negated points. And there were just so many like tiny opportunities that if one of those things bounces the Packers' way, and that's, I think, what made it so unfortunate, is like we've seen them in close games, like the Jaguars, obviously, that was not a good game for the Packers. And they had some of their misfortunes happened and some of those anomalies, but in the playoffs against now a Super Bowl team, you know, those anomalies just won't work for you. And that's what made it, I think, hurt even more.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up that interception, because, you know, when I'm looking at things, I do try to base a lot of my game analysis in the combination of stats and film. And I always hate when people will rag on players for saying, well, they swatted this away, they could have intercepted it and caught it, or they could have moved it for yards. But just look how many interceptions we did manage to hold on to in this game, and the Packers still couldn't enumerate any negatable leads in this. You know, your players handed you the ball. They grabbed it and handed it to you, and Aaron Rodgers and company could not make anything profitable out of that.
And that's why I don't like the Will Redmond criticism, because sure, yes, that turned into, unfortunately, a touchdown with 6 seconds left in the first half. That's not on Will Redmond. Like, the Packers still had, like you said, three turnovers, and the offense couldn't turn that into points. Imagine if they turned both Jair interceptions into anything, even if it's six, but max 14, they would have won this game. So I think it's tough to look, you can look back in hindsight and say, oh, you know, if Will Redmond had done this, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But, and it, yes, it was an easy pick. It was right through his fingertips, but those things happen. And I don't want to rest this entire win or loss just on like a certain play like that, because
when you had three more opposite ones.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's disappointing, because it definitely feels like the Packers were, I guess in past tense now, the better team. Tom Brady still didn't have a great game. Of course, the Bucks defense came to play, and that's ultimately what led them to this win. But, you know, the Packers were the best offense in the league. They were the number one seed for a reason, and they just couldn't get this one game done. And that's what football is. There's no best out of seven like there is in baseball or hockey. There's none of that. It's you win or you go home. And so now they are home.
And like on that note, you know, when you look at the box, Tom Brady didn't have the best game. Tom Brady didn't even really have that great of a game. You know, I've had the childhood honor of watching Tom Brady for almost my whole life. Tom Brady threw, yes, three touchdowns, three interceptions. His rating was still 73.9. Like that's not great. Rodgers actually threw over 100 for a passer rating. Like, look at what we're doing. Rodgers was on the money as much as he could have been, but there were so many elements that didn't matter. It didn't make any of that forward progress matter.
Oh, this is such a tough pill to swallow. Especially because, you know, Rodgers is 37. And so I think you look at this season, like this was the shot. I know that the three of us offline have kind of commented our personal opinions on some of the things that have come out since this game, and we don't really necessarily need to rehash that, but I think there is something to the conversation about, like, Rodgers is 37, and, you know, these opportunities, these home field NFC championship games, like, they don't come very often. They haven't happened for the Packers since 2007. So yes, you can say, you know, the window is still open. There, we'll see what they do this offseason, but it's just a tougher pill to swallow looking at where Rodgers is in his career, even though he will be back with the Packers in 2021.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's part of it too, is just, you know, we talk about like it hasn't happened since 2007. This is the first time in his entire career as a starter that he got one in Green Bay. And I know that that's, you know, what makes it extra difficult for this team is because he finally had one, and there's that element of feeling like it kind of slipped through his fingers. And we've seen the cut-ups of him talking to Jordy and saying, we got to get one at home, and look how different the team looks year to year. And I think there's a lot of that in the post game where you have players like Corey Lindsley who have been to four, and Kenny Clark said, you know, we got to kick the door in. And for them to not be able to kick the door in, it makes you wonder, like, you know, what do they still need to do when we've seen them go all in on free agents like Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and Adrian Amos. And they are having their young players like Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage. There's a development there. So it's you're kind of trying to find the missing piece of the puzzle and ask what it is, because it really felt like everything kind of aligned this year for this team, and then they still couldn't do it. So, you know, what's going wrong?
Yeah. And I think, you know, as much as we've talked about everything in Packers world that's gone down for the past 48 to 60 hours, that manifests into emotion and realizing that, you know, front office, everybody went in to try and make this team the best it could. And here we were unable, like you said, to kick the door down. Rodgers knows that. The players that are now free agents know that. And that does change futures. That does change what could happen for the rest of people's contracts here. That does change everything.
Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, on the Pat McAfee show, we saw that kind of emotion from Aaron Rodgers saying, like, we were all crying 15 minutes ago, and then you have to come in and answer questions about the future when you're still trying to process the finality of, you know, it's like what we saw in week 17 in 2017, 2018, when there weren't playoff pushes, where it's like, well, this is it. You know, until the final whistle blows, you're like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, this is great. We're going to bounce back. And then the second it doesn't happen and there's other teams celebrating on your home field, there's the realization that, like, oh, like, it actually got away. And I think, you know, Perry's shaking her head. And I, like, it's hard to talk about because it just feels like we're having trouble processing it as fans and people that, you know, watch the sport really closely. Like, imagining them trying to process that, I think, is especially difficult.
Totally. And I think, you know, as much as we talk about emotions, there has to be something said for the allowance of emotional vulnerability and honesty when it comes to media availabilities that are scheduled after a game, no matter what the result is, when it comes to athletes, no matter what your gender is, of sharing those raw reactions, you know, and not having to let it predefine their off season, because at the end of the day, that's the reality for them that they just went through, is crying with their teammates, playing their heart out and really thinking there was a chance even when the clock statistically wound down too far for there to be, and not having people who aren't in their shoes write that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as a leader too, certain players have an obligation to, like, show up and be the face mm-hmm. of what the entire locker room and honestly the entire fan base is feeling at a certain level. And I felt like Aaron Rodgers really did that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was relatable. Like, I was sitting on my rug in my apartment in my living room, like, crying with him because it was hard. Like, I wasn't out there playing and I still felt that with them. And, you know, like he said, there's going to be players that leave because that's just this business, and the team as it is never going to be the same, whether there's guys that end up retiring or, like, we just saw Sean Meninga is not coming back. Like, this team, this 2020 team isn't going to exist in the way that it did all season. And again, he has to process all this in 15 minutes when the season ends after a devastating loss before going in and speaking on it. And honestly, like, the fact that he could even be that articulate yep. and coherent about the way that he's feeling to me is impressive, because I was, like, mute for like 4 hours.
And so, I think the point to remember here is for fans, for anybody who wants to take this into consideration, for anybody who feels like they want to even have an opinion on how players and leaders conduct themselves after a game like that, is you could have a quarterback leader like Aaron Rodgers who shows up, does his obligation, and maybe to some is rawer than he has been in years past. Or you could have a quarterback like Dwayne Haskins who flipped out on media availability and had to be tracked down by his team and PR staff. And that's the two differences. And maybe that comes with veteran sage experience. And, you know, Haskins is a young kid coming up in the league, and maybe their lives are a bit different. But at the end of the day, those are two different quarterback styles, and you could have one or the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will take the former, honestly. So, yeah, we, we can kind of put this chapter, I guess, to rest. You know, it happened. There's not much more that to be said. It's unfortunate. And I think you already see some people starting to kind of look towards the future, because that's all you can do in this league. It's now the off season. People are looking towards the draft. What can the Packers do to add? I honestly, personally love that sort of more positive, forward looking outlook.
So we have like 93 days till the draft, 92, 93.
Exactly. Yeah. 3 months to get excited about players who probably won't be drafted by your team, but it's fine. So with that and your first, I guess, real off season in Green Bay, what are you looking forward to? What are you going to do this off season? I know that COVID obviously still exists, so there's some changes that won't be made for a couple months until hopefully people get vaccinated. But how are you feeling post year one, and what are you going to do this off season?
Oh, what am I going to do this off season? You know, I don't know if anybody who follows the Packers knows this, but like breweries are kind of a thing around here. And I just think it might be time for me to explore some, just a little, but I'm pretty big into COVID safety. And I try to weave that into a lot of my, you know, more human interest side of football, is how are rookies and people settling into the Green Bay area, stuff like that this year, where, I mean, think about the rookies that had a different year than anybody. And most of them have jetted out of here at this point, but are just kind of going back to their normal lives as much as it could be. I'm looking forward to connecting with Packers fans. That's honestly some of the most fun part of my job. I try to take that with me wherever I go, because honestly, like, covering a team is covering a team, but like understanding the coverage that fans look for, the way people think, whose religion is this team, is really important to me. Like, I don't even care how cheesy that is. Like, that's how I live my life. That's why I love talking to you guys, because as great as colleagues and peers and just fun gals to talk to everything about, you know, I care what you guys think about the team. It doesn't mean you're going to, you know, bit words out at me and I'm going to copy paste into my script, but sometimes that's fun. But, you know, at the end of the day, you cover the teams to not only analyze what they do, but see if they're living up to what their fans expect. And obviously Packers fans have very different expectations than the fans do in DC or Baltimore. And to me, being part of this beat and being part of this city is being part of that community. So, you know, I want to do more of that stuff. You know, that some people go to the stadium bars on Sundays. The pandemic has prevented me from doing that, but it's kind of, right. You know, there are players that live in Wisconsin. So if I'm a quote unquote offshoot of that, what am I doing in the off season? So whoever's listening to this, if you have something for me to do on Sundays, please tell me.
Do you feel like, because you have worked in other markets, and like you said, DC, Baltimore, much bigger markets. And I think pre this NFC Championship game, you're seeing a lot about how different Green Bay is from the rest of the league's NFL teams. It makes sense. Like, it's a small market. I personally, and I know Maggie can probably speak to this more, and you, because you live there, like, I've never been up there, but it seems like, you know, everything in Green Bay is obviously centered around the team.
Totally.
So the atmosphere is all Packers. And so the community, while fans are also just people who live there and live and breathe this team. Yeah. And it feels like a just completely different from any other sport market.
It definitely does feel like that to me, because, this feels like the third kind of trifecta. So I, you know, growing up in Boston, here's some sports market research I'll throw out there for you. In Boston, in some research study, it's cited that at least 70 to 80% of whoever considers themselves sports fans in the New England region are fans of three or more regional teams in that area. So you're not just a Pats fan unless you're also hitting the Sox and Bees or the Celtics, Sox and Pats, stuff like that. In the DMV region, that same percentage number is only fans of one of the pro teams in the league. Because in reality, that region is so transient that they're a Nats fan because they didn't grow up with baseball, but they're still a Red Wings hockey fan, stuff like that. Whereas here is different than all of those, because Green Bay, you have the Packers. Yes, the Brewers and Bucks are 2 hours away, but you've got the Packers right here. And if you don't live, breathe, die that here, I honestly don't know how you survive. Every now and then I do see someone walking around with a Bears hat on or some random other thing. And I do a double take every time, because I simply can't believe people get away with that here.
I could not imagine someone walking around with a Bears hat in Green Bay.
I see it at the grocery store all the time. Find me in Fresh Time, I'm probably staring at someone with a Bears hat on.
Especially because Aaron Rodgers goes to Fresh Time.
Oh, I know.
Have you seen him?
No, but it's on my list.
Girl, if I'm going to start coming up to the fresh time in Green Bay. We have one in Kenosha, so I can only imagine what it would be like. But I have like a week, I guess, until he jets west. So
exactly. Well, and I like fresh time. In DC, I live right across the street from a Trader Joe's. So I was very blessed, very blessed. But I love fresh time. They've never failed me. My cat loves their rotisserie chicken. So what's going on? And they've got a really good local beer selection.
That's love true. That. They do. Yeah.
You know. So is there like a Packers player, like a bucket list sighting that you have? Aaron Rodgers at the fresh time being number one, obviously.
I guess. Yeah. Because I think, you know, my whole goal and I've got a soft spot in my heart for feature interviews. And I think I like that because I love taking athletes, you know, out of the pads, off the field and trying to bring out a side of them. That's not the athlete. That's what else you do when it's not your four quarters of play and you're not watching film and all these things. So for me, like seeing athletes as normal people is so awesome. And again, that's why Rodgers said he loved the McAfee show this year because he could be genuine and heartfelt. And I look forward to the day that it, you know, he feels like he can do that in regular media availability too. But I think, you know, seeing anybody kind of live their life around Green Bay is super fun to me. I like running into friends around here because, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, it's my little community and I've only been here for so long. So seeing a familiar face anywhere is awesome. Yeah, there's, I guess there's probably some other people that like frequent gyms or other stuff that I think would be kind of makes Green Bay feel even smaller. There's only like 100,000 people here. So even though that's a lot, it feels smaller than you think compared to other markets. So yeah, Rodgers at fresh time would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I heard he was going to Woodman's, you know, from the McAfee show. And I was like, oh no, Rodgers. And not in this trying time. I'll deliver your groceries.
I've been to Woodman's. I hear they have good meat, but
they're so busy all the time.
Yeah. And honestly, like I drive down Ashland Avenue here and one right turn takes me to work in Target. The next right turn takes me to Fresh Time. Another one takes me to my gym. I kind of got a straight shot. And I'm not complaining about it.
So you've got your whole routine down pat year in.
Yeah. And then Lambeau Field is also right down the street from that. So my whole life is kind of in within like 1 square mile down in the southern part of Green Bay. And then I just live just a straight shot. Enough to be far away from it, but also enough to be lazy.
Yeah. Love that. That's pretty ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. So you've got the off season. Who knows who you'll see at the grocery store. Breweries abound. I mean, that's what I want to do when I come up to visit. Maggie always talks about the great beer selections out there. I'm ready for it. Next season, we hope that you finally get an actual non-COVID affected normal season. Like, what are you looking forward to most?
This is a good question. So part of my last season in the NFL, the season before this, I ran a lot of our Washington football coverage at every home game on digital and social platforms. And the best part of that was showing up to fan tailgates all around FedEx Field. And I know that exists on steroids outside Lambeau. And I'm really excited to participate in that culture here. You know, obviously I'm on the clock, so I'm not, you know, consuming, but that's a huge part of life here that I'm so aware of, whether you're someone that lives here and you're selling your driveway to people parking, or whether you're someone that flies in for every game and, you know, has a parking spot and sets your stuff up the same way. I love the camaraderie that's around football fandom. So I hate to say it, but I'm so excited for that. I also still haven't had a brat. So, and I'm kind of waiting on that to be like a tailgate food because I just think that's the way it's consumed.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know, like as much as I could figure it out, I want it to be on someone's tailgate grill when I eat a brat.
I think that's fair. You gotta wait. Yeah. You gotta wait for like the
I need a Maggie Loney shot at a tailgate. Yeah.
The best part though, like I've told this story before and like Perry, now that you're out on Twitter in the social media sphere, especially with like Cheesehead TV, absolutely you will get recognized everywhere. People will hand you beers when you walk through tailgates. I said this on the show before, I did a shot ski, and now looking back at a pandemic, that was probably the worst decision I've ever made because
the germs.
Well, yeah, well, it was like, it was pre-pandemic, but looking back now, I realize I shouldn't have just put my mouth on a shot ski. But yeah, so there's the vibes in the tailgate are strong. And Rachel, if you need good brats, we will absolutely find you some tailgates. You'll be handed spotted cows and brats as you walk kind of to the stadium.
I'm excited for that. And honestly, you know, I think there are some people in this business who do it to get recognized and want to be that face. And I honestly, if I'm ever lucky enough to ever be recognized, I had a weird moment in DC where someone yelled my name and found me. It was super weird. But, you know, Packers fans are nicer. if I'm ever fortunate enough to be recognized outside Lambeau at a tailgate in any sort of scenario, I hope that my reputation of wanting to do this to show the fans what they want or need to see or are critical of is what shines through. I hope people look at me as someone that is a reporter because I feel it's my duty alongside the fans. Like, I don't do this for other people around the country to know what the Packers are doing. I do this because I think the fans deserve good coverage of their team. And I think a lot of people work hard to do that here. And I just take pride in being someone that fans can be like, hey, like, thank you. I learned something for this. Or I love that player profile, something like that. You know, I just hope that people know that, like, she's all right.
Well, I love that because I feel like we've connected you with you on from that exact like, what you're projecting right now is like why Maggie and I have gotten so close with you and been able to connect with you even through the pandemic, through Twitter, through StreamYard, which is what we're talking on right now. So I think you're doing a phenomenal job. I'm excited for more. I can't wait to see you on the sideline at Lambeau. I'm going to be like, I'm going to be there to cheer on the team, but I'm also going to be cheering for Rachel.
Oh my God. And you know what? Like, I can't wait for when there's a day when we can hug in person, you know, is that like, that thought is so far away, but also like my body's tingling at the excitement.
Yeah. I think that this season, while it was odd and tough and all of those things that we've all felt throughout the year, like it also showed you how connected and how close you can get with people, even when you can't physically be with them.
Totally.
And that like the Packer community, whether it's fans or reporters or whoever's in the in-between, maybe even players, if you've been so lucky to have players on shows and in interviews, like the community is there, whether you're together or not. And that's what I've definitely appreciated, especially not living in Wisconsin and being far away. I still feel incredibly connected to everyone up there. And I can't wait, obviously, like you said, for the hugs and the tailgates and the brats and the Cheesehead TV tailgate and, you know, finally being at Lambeau, but the community is real whether you're together or not.
Okay, but before we get there, now I need to know, and we all need to know, what are your goals for the offseason, both personal and what you're expecting this team to do?
Maggie? Here you go first.
Well, there's a few things.
A list.
Yeah, well, personally, I'd hope to, you know, get a vaccine and maybe go back into the office. I've been working from home for almost a year and I'm sick of it. So that'd be nice. Although I am a Packers fan, it's the only Wisconsin sport that I'm a fan of. And so it's about to be baseball season. The Mets have a new owner. I'm actually potentially going down to spring training in Florida. So I'm looking forward to that because we have a new, you know, the Packers have shown me what it is like to root for a winning franchise. The Mets have shown me what it's like to root for a franchise that is always losing. So I'm hoping that this year will be the turnaround with Stevie. And in terms of Packers, you know, I think Maggie and I are going to ramp up our Packs, which she said, content, spend a lot more time on the podcast. And we have a few ideas that we're mulling over. We're going to take some time this offseason to really, really solidify those. And I hope that I can, you know, maybe July or August actually come up to Wisconsin and see you all.
Woo woo. Met spring training is going to be a blast. My, parents live not far from there, and I've hit that up a couple times, and it's a grand old time.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, my one regret, Perry, since knowing you, is that you didn't get to come see a Mets game at Miller Park because I refused to call it American Family Field. I refuse to call it that either. It's Miller Park. It's our brand.
I'm disappointed to see that sponsorship go. That feels quintessential Wisconsin.
Yeah. We're still also looking for a sponsor for Packs What She Said. So if you are a local Wisconsin brewery that would like to have your name on our show, or a New York brewery, you know, wherever you may be, we drink a lot of beer while we record this. So that's one of our goals of the off season. But yeah, no, I echo what Perry said. I can't wait for her to get up here in July or August for training camp, and we can have like a live show from the sidelines of training camp. And it's going to be, I think that I'm always like this really optimistic person where the season ends and I need some time to think about it and digest it, but give me like 48 hours and then I'm ready. And I'm like, all right, Super Bowl 56, they're going to win it all. Let's go. And then it's just my life. It's not healthy.
I love the full blown enthusiasm because honestly, if you of all people don't, then who does?
That's true.
Yeah.
Carry the beat.
And now, you know, we're going to have a new special teams coordinator to hire. I think more than likely with the rumblings on Twitter, we'll probably have a new defensive coordinator to hire. So, you know, I think Maggie and I both feel this way, and we've been very vocal about how we would like Corey Linsley to come back. So there are still some things to look forward to. And of course the draft is always exciting. You never know what the Packers are going to do in the draft, nope. But no matter who gets drafted, whether we like them pre-draft or not, once they get drafted by the Packers, they become a part of this locker room, this family, and we root for their success. So looking forward to seeing what happens. I remember last year was full of fun, so I'm sure this year will be full of fun. More so that people will stop talking about the 2020 draft.
Can't wait. Yeah, how could it possibly get any crazier than that?
I don't know. Maybe they draft Justin Fields and it all goes.
Perry, no. Perry, no.
Why not? We only have 3 months. It's fine.
He'll never make it to pick 29, so it doesn't matter.
They're going
to
trade up.
Oh, guys, I'm totally kidding. I'm not putting
that. You know he's willing to trade up.
I'm not putting that onto the universe. But yeah, the offseason's fun. I know Maggie prefers the draft. I love free agency, mostly because I just follow the NFL more closely than I follow college football. So it'll be fun to see what they do, even with their tiny limited cap space. But like Maggie said, we're optimistic fans, and that's what fandom is, right? Is loving your team. So you root for their success no matter what.
You guys definitely bring up the optimistic train. That's for sure. Yep. We have a draft correspondent. We have a free agency correspondent, and I just freaking love camp.
You do.
I love camp. I love training camp. I love it. I think I look at every single one. I've never been to one that's ended up on Hard Knocks, but I treat them all like it's Hard Knocks. I love it. I simply love it.
I like that. We need your voiceover. We need you there with a camera and like, zooming in on the drama. Like
that's my goal this summer is to do that one day. One day I will make my own. It'll be a good little TikTok Hard Knocks of Packers camp.
Rachel's going to be like,
can't wait.
Tim Boyle just shoved Aaron Rodgers. I think they're in a fight.
Oh my God. That's what, God, you guys are content machines.
That's what we do.
So it's Packs What She Said brand.
Yeah. I love it.
Packs What She Said sponsored Hard Knocks. Don Hudson Field.
Done. Okay. All right, Rachel, we appreciate you coming on. We know that this is not the last time, obviously, because
oh, thank God.
There's so much to happen, and we can't wait to watch and experience and hear about your full, real, normal NFL season experience. And when I come up, we'll do a training camp episode.
We'll do it. Absolutely.
And a brewery tour. And a brewery tour. Yeah,
that's the non-negotiable part of
it. Yeah. That's offline.
But yes,
we might talk about it. I can't
wait for you guys to have some, you know, doses of reality back too. And I hope that for, you know, everybody involved, again, I look at this as, right, Packers staff, players, fans, reporters, everybody that's involved with putting out and consuming football in this sweet little corner of the country gets back to a little more reality.
Yeah. Amen. All right, Rach, before we let you go, tell the people how to find all your work, where to follow you on socials, everything.
I make it super simple, except for my last name. Everything's at Rachel Hopmeyer, H-O-P as in Peter, M as in Mary, A-Y-E-R. I always say it that way. I'll just never replace. I just don't have the Paul, Peter, Paul, and Mary. But otherwise, yep, at Rachel Hopmeyer. I feel like I'm not. Once you type in Rachel Hop, I'm always there. But if you need to verify, I follow Maggie and Perry on everything. So
there you go.
You know, put me up. Tell me what to do with my Sundays.
If you need weekend content.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. And whatever you do in the off season, let me know.
And Maggie, what about you? For anyone who happens to be new listening to the show.
There's quite a few people that follow the podcast that don't follow me, and quite frankly, I don't blame them. But you can find me on Twitter at Maggie J. Boney. I write 2 articles a week for Cheesehead TV. The content is going to be dragging in the off season, but we will make it work. I'll write some more posts or something. I don't know. You can find me with the Thursday version of the Pack-A-Day version, the Thursday crew with the Pack-A-Day podcast. And that's all now. Weirdly, Perry, where can everybody find your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at Perry_Goldstein. Perry's P-E-R-R-I. I'm now still on every other Sunday Pack-A-Day crew with Andy and Alex. But so far this off season, that's it as well. Like I said, Maggie and I are going to be making some, I wouldn't say changes, rather upgrades to Packs, which she said this off season, trying to give you all some more diverse and fun content. Will be somewhat linked to Cheesehead TV, as that is who houses this show, but just look out for some updates. So if you want those, you can follow the podcast at PWSS Podcast on Twitter as well. And no matter win or lose, we always say go Pack go.
Go Pack go.
And Jones out in front. They're trying to chase him down. He's inside the 10, and he is in for the touchdown.
The title is back in town. The Green Bay Packers.